Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
I just remembered I had a dream last night that I was hanging out with Dustin and Greg, and were we like apartment roommate, something. I was like, what's your guys' rent? And they were like $15. And I was like, $15? What do you mean? And they were like, every time Tony doesn't book us, $15 goes off the rent. So we're down to $15 total for the rent. So that's,
oh my God.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah, and you did it again. Where
I know.
You didn't do like a theatrical, like,
I was like, oh, we're doing it right now. Okay.
We've only been here for 45 minutes. Like, we're trying to get down to brass tacks, girls. We've been over here. We're fucking doing, what am I trying to think of the word for? You know, in the Greek movie, and then she works at the travel planner, but it's called the travel planner,
travel agent,
the travel agent.
What's the Greek movie?
The Greek one, and she's in it, and the other, and the man, and she falls in love with the man. She gets a makeover.
And the apples, my big fat and the Greek oranges wedding, and the Lysol. Come
my
on,
big fat I do. Greek wedding.
Yeah, of course
oh,
I know.
Oh,
my
oh,
big
yeah,
fat Greek wedding.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, guys.
And she and the man and the apples and the oranges. You guys, I'm not getting closer to it.
Do you think that our communication skills are deteriorating? And if so, do you think it's happening rapidly or at a fairly steady rate over time?
Such a good question. I think anyone who's listened to our backlog should come back and tell us.
Let us know. Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better? I doubt it's gotten better.
And do you think, like, you can, like, accurately medically diagnose what's going on?
Yeah, are you a neurologist? We'd love to hear your thoughts.
I can accurately diagnose what's going on. I think we're suffering from the Muppet Treasure Island cabin fever song every day of our lives.
Yeah.
We've got cabin fever. We've got cabin fever. They're not even like smiling at me during that. They were kind of like, I wish you wouldn't sing that.
Like, really, oh, another like musical interlude.
It's contributing to the storyline, Anne.
I loved it. I think it really gave a culmination to our little talk there.
Perfect. Well, a little business up front. We just want to remind you again, Anne will be out next week, but we will be here discussing All In with our very special nemesis and friend, James, from One Nation Radio. We're so excited to host him. Please tune in. We have some questions for him.
Our framesis.
We have some things we want to ask him about and get on the same page about, and we're so excited to do that.
He really he knew he was coming on next week, and yet he said the things that he said this week. So.
He said a lot of hateful things. Yeah.
A lot of hateful things. It's my week to report on my happiness. I did forget that I was doing that, and I'll do two happinesses. One is just like, I know that we like to share about our health at the beginning of the happiness check-in. So I will say that after 10 days on antibiotics, I am ear infection free.
Hell yeah.
Which is huge for me, except that when I still don't really have all my hearing, and when I try to pop my ears, they just crackle wetly. But they don't hurt, so I've just taken the win.
That's a win, yeah.
Just see what happens there. But my other happiness is... in my friends group here in Minneapolis, we've got two babies in the group around almost exactly the same age. They're like a year and a half, and they've started talking, and they both in the past 2 weeks learned my name, and they say my name all the time, and their parents text me and say, oh, she keeps saying your name, because I see them, and then she keeps saying your name. She was so excited to see you. And you know what, so guys? Sweet. Babies are really good.
Babies are good. They're
babies
real
are good. When so you say exciting. Hi to a baby and she lights up and she says, owie. That's kind of the only thing that matters in the world. So I drove one of these babies to the airport today, all on her own, first flight. with her parents. it really picked me up for the rest of the day. So.
Yeah. The other day I was at the pool and my neighbor had their 4-year-old grandson there and he like just decided he loved me. He came over and sat by me for no reason and it really like made my whole week. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Little kids are the greatest.
When a baby likes you, you do think like, I can't be that bad. No matter what mean thoughts I've had about myself or doubts I've had about like what I'm doing here on this earth, if a child looks at me and smiles and likes me, I must be okay. It's gotta be okay.
Yeah.
You think the vibes I'm putting off, they are appealing.
They're fun. Yeah. You don't look at her and think like, ooh, scary. She seems like maybe she's mean.
No.
No, they think we're fun. Babies are really fun. All three of us.
Yeah, we're a big hit with babies.
Big hit with babies.
Yeah. Kind of our main audience, I'd say.
You think they tune into the pod every week?
Oh, yeah.
The intellectual level where we kind of aim our conversations.
What is Greg's mom writes the books that are decodable?
It's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You think we're decodable to babies? Yeah.
We're trying to let babies learn the structure of language by really using it simply.
That's so interesting because I think that we're basically an 18 plus podcast. But if they just listen to our tones, I agree, very accessible.
Did I ever tell you guys that one of my friends who actually legitimately is like a kindergarten teacher or like she's a, you know, early education teacher got sent a bunch of like decodable books and she was like reading them to see which one she wanted to put in her classroom library and got to the last page and was like, oh my God, is that Greg from Leah's wrestling show?
Oh my gosh. Do you know this
woman and just, like, sent me a picture, and I was like, that's Greg's mom.
That's Sue. She's a staple of the program. That's amazing.
That's so sweet.
Good for her. Congrats, Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Down to the wrestling. All In is on Sunday. We are speaking to you now, Thursday evening. We've seen this week's Dynamite and Collision, but there's a Rampage and a Collision yet to come, and then the main event.
Yeah. All In, Wembley. You know what else is on Sunday?
What? Oh, yeah. I did know. I got really scared for some reason.
I'm just saying, if Swerve and Hangman wanted to kiss for my birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone.
Yeah, Swerve and Hangman, if you're listening.
Give her a little present. She works hard every day.
Put on a little eyeliner. You know, take your best off.
Put on a little show. Take your vest. Oh my God.
If a young buck doesn't take his vest off for my birthday, I'm going to fucking
lose
it. Yeah.
Now, can I ask, I really just remembered this like today when I was reporting on my weekend plans to these friends I was taking to the airport. I said, oh, I'm watching a pay-per-view on Sunday. And then suddenly I thought, in the morning. What time?
I looked this up because you know, our friend Hannah is coming to visit and I had to like plan out her day. I believe it will be on 1 to 4 Eastern time. So what is that?
So
12
only 5 hours. Wow.
Because they have a
really
they
locks them in.
Yeah, they have, that was the thing when I was like trying to figure out Sunday plans. I was like, we'll certainly be done before dinner because of that Wembley curfew.
Wow. What is that time of curfew in England?
I think 11?
I think it's 10? Yeah, because they're in like a residential area, so wow. Apparently.
10 is so early, like almost too early. That's crazy. Okay, well, 11 to 4 isn't, I mean, that's crazy, of course. Like, what do you do with that day? But
yeah, I remember last year when it ended being like, oh, and now I'll just, I don't know what. Like, I've got hours before bed, so.
I'm worried about what that'll look like for me, but, well, it's coming. So, I thought maybe we could discuss just, like, our big picture thoughts on how things are shaping up, how you're feeling, and then we're going to run down the matches that we know of on the card and talk about what happened this week as we go. Does that sound good?
Sounds lovely.
Sounds great.
Well, let's ask that big question first. How are you feeling about Wembley, all in Wembley, 2024.
Moderate. I won't strange. Be watching it live because people are here, and then I'm like...
You're only watching the highlights. I mean, you'll be able to tell.
I know. And I mean, the nice thing about us watching is that we'll say to you, watch Tony and Mariah XYZ, in the last 5 minutes of XYZ, you know?
Well, you're going to have to watch all of... I did finally remember. I was like, oh, right, Darby and Jack is going to fuck.
Oh, yeah, so that's
going to be good.
That's going to be a good one.
Actually, probably most of the matches will be very good, actually, even though I feel extremely unenthusiastic about most of these storylines.
Classic Tony, am I right?
It's just a regular AEW pay-per-view. What are you going to say?
For some reason... It's like, when I look at the list of matches, I'm like, I guess these are all normal. But then, they're at the same time, they're not. Like, I just keep being like, where are all of my friends? My friends don't get to go to the pay-per-view. And then it's like, I keep getting this feeling like Tony was like, I'm going to book a huge match. I'm going to take all my dolls out, and I'm going to put them on the floor in front of me so I know exactly what I'm working with. And then he booked it, and then he forgot he had, like, 3 more shoeboxes under the bed. He just, like, didn't get those out. It's like, you didn't want to use those, or
you
didn't want
look
those
at
ones?
It and you're like, is there some sort of plague backstage? Like, what's going on? Like, why? Like,
that
Hook
damn
has
kissing
a singles
plague.
Match at Wembley? Like, yeah, Mono's really going around.
They've all got hickey pox. They can't come out to wrestle. I know that some of it is injury stuff. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird card, but... Well, let's get started with probably the least inspiring of the lot. MJF and Ospreay had the world's longest in-ring promo exchange on Dynamite this week in the very real country of Wales. You want to speak to that, Leah? I thought you might like to just say how much you love Wales.
I revealed a fun Leah fact to my friends, which is that for an embarrassingly long time, like I think I was a teenager, I didn't think Wales was a real place. I thought it was like Camelot. Like,
I think for some reason, I mean, it is obviously is quite funny, and we all had things like that in childhood that we just thought that were crazy. But I read it and I was like, yeah, that makes sense, kind of. And I just went to what was the series of books that they are like the Arthurian and they're young adult and.
The Dark is Rising ones?
The Dark is Rising. Yeah, those take place in Wales, right?
Some of them do, yeah.
Some of them do. Well, for some reason, I was just like, that's right. It does seem like that Wales would be made up for The Dark is Rising. So that's probably what happened. Susan Cooper.
Well, I feel like as a kid, too, like, I read a lot of books, but it was like there was, like, Great Britain and the United Kingdom and then, like, all the individual places, and it took, like, quite a while to kind of get straight, like, what's going on over there, you know?
Yeah. They don't fund education very well in this country, so it's not our fault.
No, it's not our fault. We're not, like, we get taught about the Revolutionary War, and then it kind of, like, that's it. Like, that's what we get.
Yeah. Our textbooks just kind of say, like, fuck the British, and that's all we know.
Pretty much.
You don't want to know about them. We left that place for a reason. Oh, we're doing a little MJF promo, guys. Anyway, what did they talk about, you might ask? What did MJF and Ospreay talk about? Well, they do both think that they're the best the best wrestler and the most successful wrestler, and they think that they have the metrics to prove it. And they debated kind of what being the best wrestler means and who decides it and whether it's decided by facts or whether it's decided by feelings. They've really committed to that rhetorical approach. One might even say overcommitted. And then at the end of the promo, MJF abruptly said that he fucked a baby into Will Ospreay's wife. And Will Ospreay asked commentary how big the fine would be if he punched MJF. And Tony Schiavone called Tony Khan, and Tony Khan said that the fine would be 100,000 pounds. And Ospreay said, okay, worth it. And then he punched MJF and they brawled, and then MJF got him with the ring and knocked him out, and then MJF was going to Tiger Driver Will Ospreay, but security intervened. Where do you want to start here?
Oh my god. Okay, I will say there was one really good moment in here, which is yes. when MJF suddenly broke and he said, they did love me until you got here, and came across yes. very insecure and upset. So that moment was fantastic.
Yeah, if it is, I believe in our...
Go ahead.
Sorry, just on that part, I believe in our Discord, Blue Jam was like, the moments where he feels like a vulnerable Eric Cartman do hit like meth. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly it. Sorry,
yeah. Continue. No, it was just like, it just would have hit way harder if it wasn't in the middle of a promo that was like twice as long as it needed to be and arguing about like ratings and stuff, where I'm just like, I cannot hear wrestlers bitch about their place in the card on this television show one more time.
I definitely think it would have, it's one of those things where it's like, we say it fairly often, but it's like, if like that is what you do, like you put all that out on the draft because like you open up the doc and you just say everything you're thinking and you get it all out. And then you go in there and you cut back the stuff that doesn't work. They're just not cutting that back. So it's like, guys, stop putting your first drafts out there.
I was actually having like a privately mortifying experience when I was reading through like the promo and being like, they had to edit it. And then just being like, oh my God, I've produced this kind of work before, like where it's just too much. And then you read it back later and you realize like you didn't need to overexplain yourself that much. You just could have cut it back a lot. And I wish that they'd done that. And I wish I'd done that in the past. And God, there's so much for all of us to learn here.
It's really true. It's so frustrating that they keep giving MJF more time than he needs to make his points, because it's like been so characteristic, especially since he's been back, of just like, this has got like me looking up and being like, how is this still happening to me? It's still going. And it's like, if TK was just like, hey, MJF, you get 5 minutes to make your point instead of 10 minutes or 6 minutes instead of 20 minutes. Like,
based on how much he's getting, it's like you might have to bargain him down to 10 before you get him to 5. And that'll be fine. But that'll be fine. You're right. He needs some kind of box. He needs a box. And it has to be a hard limit where it's like, we're going to hit your music. If you don't wrap it up in 10 minutes, we're going to hit your music and put out the cane and get you off stage.
Yeah.
Not to skip, because we're going to talk about it in detail later, but it is crazy when you think of like what Hangman is making with the 35 seconds he gets every 2 weeks versus what MJF is making with conservatively 45 minutes an episode.
This felt like an hour's worth of promo, honestly. And like, it's not even that there was plenty of, well, no. If it were okay to talk about your ratings and talk about, if we signed off on the content, what am I saying? I don't know. They shouldn't have done it. Okay? I don't know. I can't hear it anymore. I can't hear it. It's bedroom talk.
No,
that's private bedroom talk.
I think all of this time, Ospreay's been trying to do it right. And he's been trying to make like a normal story. Like what he's doing with Kyle and Don Callis, he's really been trying. But it's like he got dragged into this back and forth. And I think we are on record for being the only people who loved the Four Pillars feud. But even we didn't like that one promo where they were like, Tony loves you. No, Tony loves you. And this had echoes of that where, like, when they were going back and forth about, like, who's Tony's most special boy, I was like, oh, no, you don't need to do that on account of this is a fictional wrestling show that I watch, and you don't have to do that. Like,
right.
I think that there is something so smart, and I'm going to repeat myself. There's something so smart somebody could have done with this where they're like, I was the ace of this promotion, and I had the reins, and I tried to make the thing that I thought would be great, and everybody hated it, and I took a break, and I came back, and the world went on without me. And that makes me so miserable, and I want to take it out on everybody I see. But it's like MJF's not quite fictionalizing it. He's just legislating very real grievances. And I'm like, ugh. I watch this to kind of like check out.
You know? Yeah. Well, and I think there's something weird too about, so I obviously completely agree that the one line in this promo that was like, that's a hit, was him being like, they loved me until you showed up and ruined it. That's a great line. It's a great emotional beat. But I did think to myself, like, has that actually been set up in a real way by what's happened on the show and the crowd reactions that anybody has got? I mean, I guess once, it has.
Once they did it, and it was MJF reaching out to Danny Garcia and talking to him and like having that moment with him, and then Ospreay running out and like basically taking it over. They should have been doing shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
They should have been doing, if they wanted to do work shoot shit, they could have been doing backstage stuff where like MJF's like, hey, Tony, like we should go out to dinner. And Tony's like, yeah. And then Ospreay walks by or and just spins around.
If you don't want it to be too, too like, you know, cartoony in that direction, it could just be stuff like he's used to like being able to talk about his creative with Tony. He's used to being like, when then I love to sit down, Tony and I'll just sit down, like I'll let him know what I'm thinking. And like, well, you'd have to do this in a non-worksheety way, but yeah, I think you could. And to have Tony being like, not now, the new baby needs help.
Yeah,
not
now. Exactly.
I have to help my new little baby. He needs to breastfeed. Like we can't do this right now.
If you had been building that up all this time and then have MJF be like, okay, so we are going to fight because I'm so like worked up with rage that I'm going to fucking kill you and take out all of the upsetness I've have is centered on you now, and I'm going to ruin your life. That would have made this feel like something, but it doesn't really now.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't because it's like, realistically, what has MJF lost? What has MJF lost? Yeah. Like, I guess maybe like the crowd respect, but it's like, well, you came back and you were mean. And I know he might not be able to process that, but it's like, you still get all the time. You still are having the long segments. Like you didn't have relationships with people that have degraded that we can see, like, cause you never built those relationships with people.
Yeah.
Right. And you got the first belt that you challenged for, you know, like,
yeah,
everything you've got everything you wanted.
And they've been doing this whole patriotism thing this whole time that, like, doesn't really tie in at all. And, like, I'm fairly tolerant with them, like, trying things that don't really work. But it's not like he even threw it out. So, and I think you could kind of connect it if you tried, if it was, like, he was trying to pretend that he's mad at Will Ospreay because he's British, but actually it's because he's been taking his spot or something. But again, you'd have to have, like, good backstage stuff where he had been taking his spot. And then, you know, you could sort of telegraph that that's what was going on. But instead, it was just, like, it didn't connect at all. So you just have a lot of disjointed stuff.
It just remains so funny. Like this week on Dynamite, MJF is doing his like jingoism patriotism thing at the poor Welsh, who are real. They are real. And
oppressed. Ospreay was like, oh, Englishmen usually aren't loved here. And it's like, interesting to hang a lampshade on that, but all right.
So he's doing that whole shtick. Meanwhile, like, half paying attention to the show, we're all on Twitter checking out what's going on at the DNC because for the first time in a fucking decade, we're like, wow, they are doing a good job. Maybe things could get better in this country. So we're in a moment where it's like, okay, America, we just got off the fucking Olympics. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not in the mood to watch you do, of course America is evil, but I'm not in the mood to watch you do evil America when I am trying to have a 3 months of hope and optimism about the future. And then I was thinking, I was like, But if things hadn't gone the way that they'd gone this summer, I would be having the most depressing time of my life, too, watching this.
You'd just be reminding me of it, which I would not enjoy.
So there's kind of no world in which I think that this was the
this was the summer for it?
Yeah. No. But
it was really funny to have us, like, come with the energy of the roll call. Like, we, like, that roll call worked on all three of us so much that I think all of us would have, like, punched a car. Like, we were, like, fucking
up at 2 a.m. being like, I was watching Clues in the Speeches.
When Texas was talking in the roll call vote, I really got teary, you guys.
And then for us to come out of that into, like, the MJF thing, I just, like, I was like, I can't be dealing with you right now.
Yeah.
It really is giving, like, terrible twos. Mommy just had a new baby and you're not.
You're just not a priority.
You're going to have to get your own snack, MJF. It also doesn't help that, like, in my hometown, there was this man who used to stand outside the mall waving a flag, and his name was Ziggy, and, like, I never knew his real story. I just thought that he, like, because there were so many urban legends about why he was, like, outside the mall, like, screaming, like, USA. But, like, the thing is that he was dressed exactly like MJ on Wednesday, so it just kept being, like, and Ziggy's here, and that's fine.
I don't know. It's like, what can you say? It's kind of, it's like, it's just a little fucked because it's like, they just don't have, they don't have the chemistry to get over some of these hurdles. And it's so much time, And it's such a dense text. I mean, there were moments when, like, the fourth time that MJF was like, and so then perhaps the facts feel, and I was like, girl, I've written the essay and I've been really proud of it too. But we cannot be doing it right now.
Little shout out to us with all the facts and feeling stock, though. So.
Wow, he's trying to suck up to us, and we are
not having it.
Throwing it out with the garbage.
You know, everyone backstage is desperate for our approval.
They want our approval really bad, those girls who nobody likes their opinions. We've simply got to impress them. Let's move on to our next topic, I think, because we're going to end up circling back on Osprey anyway. So we're going to check in on how AEW built the Bryan Danielson and Swerve feud this week. So first, it was by airing a Collision promo in which various wrestlers backstage weighed in on who they think will win the feud. Now, I would describe this, there was kind of a casual catching them by the water cooler vibe to this promo. We had Dax in there with just his little cup of coffee being like, I don't even remember what he said. Who knows what he think he said Swerve. He fought with, no. Well, you think he said Swerve. Anyway, whatever. So they all weighed in. Who do we think will win? And then we cut to Eddie Kingston, couchbound with his leg injury, letting us know that he's been watching Dynamite, and he also doesn't think that Bryan Danielson has done a good job of building this feud. And he said, and I quote, "This Bryan I'm seeing is disrespectful to our sport." So true. He's going to get beat. He doesn't have the fire anymore. Why are you even doing this match if it isn't who you are? Are you going to step up, Bryan? Are you going to write your last love song to pro wrestling it all in? Or are you just going to go in there and lose because you ain't got it no more?
You could have aired that promo on this podcast. They would have just fit in. It was like a really weird moment to be like, yeah, that's what we've been saying. Like, why are they airing it on the show?
He just tweeted out?
It was crazy. Well, and, like, after Dynamite on social media, they put up the promo where Bryan actually, like, got emotional and seemed to care about it and seemed to be mad at Swerve specifically. And then instead of airing that on Collision, they aired a promo where Eddie said, Bryan, you don't care about this. It's like, if we're trying to do damage control and we're trying to turn the ship around, which it really does seem like from stuff they're, like, leaking to Dave and stuff, you know, they're doing, that they're trying to be like, no, he does care. Like, why put a promo on that's like, he don't care. He don't, and it's a problem. Like, this isn't helping.
Right.
I feel like the words don't emphasize enough the tone in Eddie's voice where he was like, why are you even doing this? Like, why the fuck are you wrestling if you don't give a shit?
It's so crazy. like, I was so happy to see Eddie, and he, I mean, he did a great job with this deranged promo they asked him to do, but why would you bring back Eddie to say Bryan Danielson don't care, like, in a pre-tape? Like, what service, what do they think that's doing for the story?
I don't know how it furthered it, because it just, it was one of those moments where it was like, yeah, that's what's wrong with it. Yeah. So how are you going to fix it? Like, okay, great, you've identified the problem. It, the show is next week. Would it, like, how are you going to fix it?
And if they did it, like, a month ago, when, I mean, you don't need both Eddie and Jeff Jarrett to do it.
But you
if they
certainly did
it,
don't.
If they did
you
it a month ago.
You certainly do not.
From Eddie
what if this
instead.
Guy went to the mentor convention and everybody fucking loved him there?
Like, if they had done it a month ago and had it make a shift in Bryan Danielson's on-screen behavior, then, like, yeah. But, like, it's a little bit late to be trying to do that story beat when we already did that story beat 2 weeks ago with Jeff Jarrett. Like, what are we... What are we doing here? I have, like, actually have gotten to the point where I'm like presumably Tony Khan and Bryan Danielson are booking this match. And it's like, do these men who only care about wrestling and only care about wrestling matches, like, have they been served badly by the fact that no one in the wider wrestling media ecosphere ever talks about storytelling in a serious way or even a casual way? Because it's like they like literally have no clue how to tell a very basic story.
But it's especially wild to me because, like, I keep thinking about how an angle that Bryan Danielson could have gone with is, like, I fucking love wrestling. I love how it feels to wrestle. Like, the feeling of being in the ring is the love of my life, except that I have my family and I am legitimately torn between those things. It's not that I want my body to keep breaking down. It's not that I want to break promises to my family. There's so many things about wrestling that I'm happy to give up, except for the feeling that I have when I am doing it. And when I am doing it, that is the realest version of me possible.
Yeah.
It is so easy to work that up.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that we couldn't take that approach?
I mean, like, even if you did something where, like, Bryan Danielson was like, I don't know how to not give 150%, which is why my body's falling apart. And everybody thinks, like, I should stop wrestling. Everybody wants me to stop wrestling, but I literally, like,
feel addict.
Like, yeah, I'm an addict. Like, I don't know. Like, I just love it. And, like, have Swerve be like, I'm going to kill you, though. Like, if you come into this ring, I'm going to kill you. And have Bryan Danielson be like, then good. I'll die.
And I'm rock hard for it. Yeah. I want to die.
And Swerve has been doing just the work of his life with this. And I think also if Swerve in this context was, like, threatening to take both wrestling and Bryan Danielson's family away from him when he's like, you know, I'll threaten your family and that kind of stuff. Like, you could actually have Bryan Danielson get worked up in a way that felt, like, organic. Mm-hmm. And also, again, could have taken place a month ago so that you had a ramp up where Bryan Danielson actually, like, acknowledged Swerve as a human that he was in a feud with, which would go a long way.
We got... like a light amount of shit. Like, I don't want to overstate it. We got a light amount of shit for, like, being so down on the Swerve and Danielson idea in the beginning.
I love not seeing when we get shit.
And what we're saying, like, what we said in the beginning, like, it's going to end in a good match, but, like, it's not going
to
be a fun summer leading up to it.
And
I just keep thinking.
Week. Yeah. We have to tune in every week.
Yeah, we have to tune in every week. And so, like, I keep thinking about how, like, accurate that was. We didn't have a fun summer. Like, we could have if it was another feud. But, like, I think we knew even at that time. I'm like, you're not going to give me a fun summer.
We specifically asked Tony Khan for a wet, hot American summer. And what did we get? A cold, drizzly British summer.
And it is going to be a good match. Like, I am sure it is going to be an excellent match that I will enjoy. But I have been so irritated the whole summer over this stuff.
That's the thing, is that it's going to be a fucking fantastic match. And all of a sudden people are going to be like, see, you bitched for 6 weeks and it was a fantastic match. So eat your words. And I'm like, yeah, because it was 6 weeks that could have been fun too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why sometimes people phrase it as, like, you can either have a good match or...
Yeah.
A fun lead up, and it's like,
it really needs to be both.
Some of the wrestling geniuses at AEW can't come up with a way to have both in the top title feud. Like, I don't think that the conglomeration versus the Undisputed Kingdom is gonna have both, but, like, surely your top feud could,
yeah.
Right. I think this is the thing where, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, I get the real, like, okay, we're dumb girls, I get it feeling, because that's how it feels when people are like, well, the match was good, so why were you whining? And it's like, again, because I tune in to watch the show every single week. Mm-hmm, because yeah. I tune in, what I would prefer is to have fun watching a lively mishmash of storylines and, like, tones and matches and et cetera.
Yeah.
Every single week for between two to five hours, and maybe more in future if Tony Khan has his way.
And we didn't even get, like, a lot of fun build-up matches. Like, we didn't have, like, Bryan Danielson wrestling, you know, Claudio. Swerve wrestling Claudio. We didn't have a lot of, like, mix-and-match matches to go in. So we didn't even get fun.
Tony, like, doesn't... I know this is an overstatement, but Tony, like, doesn't book build-up matches anymore. It was kind of crazy to bucket all the matches today and be like, so interesting that most of these matches at Wembley have, like, nothing in their buckets, but then there are just, like, 10 in the conglomeration.
That is the most well-built feud.
But it has no emotional stakes. I actually don't know why they're fighting at this point.
I have no clue
why they're fighting at this point. They're just so used to... What I would love is if in the middle of a conglomeration match, one of them just stopped and said, wait, it'd be
Kyle. Why are we doing this? Guys.
It's habit, I guess.
And then they all sit down, crisscross applesauce, and they just talk it out.
And you just brought up Jeff Jarrett, and it, like, rocketed me, and I was like, remember when Jeff Jarrett was part of this feud? What happened to him?
Those are the build matches we got with Jeff Jarrett. Like,
Jeff Jarrett is not in any, I assume if Jeff Jarrett isn't in the Casino Gauntlet match, I don't know what we're doing. Well, not because, like, I want him to be there. Yeah. It's like, well, he better be in some match for the number of times I saw him.
Why wasn't he wrestling this week, like, and, like, Bryan Danielson involved? And, like, why did we do any of this?
Why did we do any of this? The other thing that I was going to say, well, I don't even know if it's worth getting into. Danielson did give, like, a fiery promo at the end of the night. He came out. He needs Swerve. He gave a fiery promo that just wasn't, it wasn't about any, like, to me, it's like, it wasn't about, it assumed that I was invested in this question of whether or not Bryan Danielson still has that dog in him. And I said, well, he's not, I don't care. I could not give less of a shit if Bryan Danielson still got that dog in him. I don't care. And he said, I have it here. Maybe a lot of people are confused because I don't come out here for 20 minutes every week and talk about myself. And I was like, girl, Swerve has been coming out here every week fucking talking about you to make your feud work. Who are you shooting on here? Nope. I mean, he's not shooting, he's in kayfabe, but it's like, who are you talking about? Like, is that about MJF? Don't bring him up. If that's about Swerve, that's fucking unfair.
MJF is not your role model. Nobody's asking you to become MJF. In fact, we're asking MJF not to be so MJF. Could you come out? Maybe not. Nobody's asking you to talk about 20 minutes about yourself. Could you give 5 minutes
about someone
on
else?
Swerve?
Talk about someone else. Talk about your scene partner. Can we hear about your scene partner?
That was the moment that I genuinely...
You know what he went on to do? Not talk about his scene partner!
I genuinely this week was like, is Bryan Danielson, like, shoot mad at Swerve? And this is how he's, like, sandbagging him? Is that what's happening?
What the fuck is going on here? And then something that people have said is like, well, Bryan Danielson doesn't want to win the belt. So that's what's happening here. And it's like, okay, well, does he want to be a good coworker?
Yeah.
It's like, bitch.
You can lose the belt in a fun way that gives your coworker something to work with.
He's giving all these shoot interviews, too, about, like, how he's probably too hurt to retire and he'll be happy doing that and whatever, because he's trying to, like, trick everyone into thinking that maybe he will really retire, which makes me feel like, do you think I'm a little baby? Do you think I just fell off a turnip trip? Like, I know when mother puts her face behind her hands, she does not disappear, okay?
I have object permanence, Bryan Danielson. I'm actually pretty proud of it. One of the products that I make at my real job has like when you're doing team building and you're trying to figure out how to get everybody on the same page, there's a step that's called disagree and commit. And it's like you at a certain point, the conversation about whether something is going to happen or why it should or shouldn't happen stops. And you say, okay, I don't think it should happen, and you do, but we've decided that it is going to happen. So we all commit to it, and we all do the best job we possibly can to make it really good. And it's like, I'm sorry, Brian Danielson, if you feel, I don't know what the facts are here, if you feel like you have committed, but from my perspective, you have not. Mm-hmm. And even the stuff that you did to try and build it over the past few weeks, it does not work for me. It does not work for me as a feud that makes me think like you care about the person you are fighting in like shoot or kayfabe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like the promo this week, it was like very fiery and it was annoying to me because of all the past month and because it didn't really talk about Swerve. But I think if he'd been giving this kind of fiery promo for the past month, even if he was sort of not talking about Swerve enough, I would forgive it more. But this was so like too little too late and also didn't like account for that at all. So it was just like, well, what are we doing?
But if you had George Lucas money, and you went back and you edited Swerve out of every single part of this feud and edited in Tony Nese, everything Brian Danielson said would work for perfectly. Not a problem. Yep. Like, at no point he did acknowledge his coworker in a way that was remotely like he'd met him before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know.
They seem to think like the story is that everyone will be super invested in is Brian Danielson retiring and like, and Swerve is also there because someone has to be there. But it's just like,
well, it's kind of crazy. What a waste. It's like if you were going to take kayfabe, well, you know, if you're going to assume that the interviews that he's been giving are part of the story, like they're part of kayfabe and that you believe them, if you're still rooting for Brian Danielson to win, you're kind of an asshole. Because, like, at a certain point, you're like, that horse is old and it shouldn't be at the Kentucky Derby anymore. Like, let it go.
This is animal cruelty. Take it out back and shoot it.
At a certain point,
this poor old dog just wants to sleep by the fire. Like, please.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Between his interviews and, like, MJF and Ospreay doing all the worksheet today, I got to a place where I was like, does anyone protect the business anymore? Brian Danielson, you are killing the business.
Wow. Won't someone murder that old man for the good of the business? It's unfortunately, it's quite funny that it's like before this storyline, I was like, I love Brian Danielson. Sometimes I'm mad at him, but that's just my sweet old goat. Like the animal, not greatest of all time. And I like when he's happy, and I'd love to see him halftime or down to quarter time, whatever he wants to do. And now I'm like, kill him, retire him, time to die. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you again after this, unless you can apologize to me for my cold, drizzly British summer.
Sometimes I think about like one of the most like interesting compliments we've ever gotten was someone was like, I like listening to your podcast because you interact with the things that you've seen on the screen. And I'm like a little bit like, I'm like, that's what's wrong with this feud is that like Brian Danielson is not really expecting us to interact with the things we see on screen.
Like, don't you just want to see my amazing match? Bitch, I want to see more. I want more from you. I expected more from you and I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It could have been good, and they just decided not to make it good. You know,
bravely, they made the decision.
And it is frustrating because like the match will be good, and I do feel like people are like, oh, all these dumb girls like think that Brian Danielson isn't going to be good, but it's like, I think all those people who are like, I'm macho and I only care about fake fights and moves. It's like, but your enjoyment of stuff is for sure affected by the buildup and how much you care about the people going in and the storyline going in. And like, just because you think you're too tough, like, let's be honest. Come on.
You can tell like the mood of Twitter is so much calmer and nicer and more fun when there are stories and interesting things going on. They won't admit it. There's so many people that won't admit it. But they clearly enjoy wrestling a lot more when there's, like, things to watch that they can distract them from the miseries of their lives. Like, that's what we're all here
that's
for.
That's what television's for.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, this is related to our conversation from before the podcast started about, like, people are not good anymore at being like, this is fiction, and it's fun to watch fiction because it isn't real. They watch fiction, and they're like, well, to me, it feels real, and I'm mad. And, like, that, but that is what wrestling is, like, in this right now, is, like, wrestling is, like, real. I can't get it out. But you know what I mean? Yeah. They're interconnected. These are interconnected issues somehow. Right. We need to enjoy fiction again.
I think it's like...
Tell a story.
Yeah.
Let, as Interview with the Vampire would say, let the narrative seduce you.
No, I think that's right. Like, the people that, like, are watching Interview with the Vampire wrong don't understand that
fiction isn't real. That it's not a textbook about abuse.
But it's actually, it's about some monster, like, literal monsters, actually. Yeah.
But I think, like... Wrestling fans don't realize that the fiction isn't real in the way that, like, they're like, well, the most important thing is doing, like, the math and, like, figuring out the strategy and, like, getting into the booker's head. And I'm like, that's the least interesting part. That's just doing a job, you know?
Right. For free.
Yeah. Like, go play Roller Coaster Tycoon. I'm trying to watch a movie here.
Okay, honestly, if we did have a game called, like, Wrestle Kingdom or, like, The Wrestle King or Wrestle Tycoon, whatever, where it is, like, you are in The Sims and you are building your little Sim City, Wrestle City, something like that, and you're just building your little promotion, I think we could get some people out of... We could get some people out of our lives and into that. That would be its own separate thing we could get them
like
into.
Fantasy football, except it's like their wrestling thing. And so they're constantly being like, oh man, my ratings came in. My show isn't doing so well.
I thought people would really love the Bryan Danielson Swerve match, but the ticket sales are not what I was hoping for.
And I want it to be like, you
this
know.
This TV deal I'm trying to work on is taking forever.
In this scenario, we have engineered the algorithm behind Wrestle City. And we're like, oh, they'll see now.
And it's like your booker character goes to talk to your top star to convince him to, like, take a loss. And it's like you just see your health meter slowly going down as this conversation
That would be
continues.
So funny.
Like, I don't think you have enough health points to continue this conversation. Like,
you're going to need to go buy a 5-hour energy and see where you stand after that.
It's like you wasted all your health trying to convince Dax to take the pin, and so you got nothing left for Malachi, guys.
Okay. If you are listening to this and you are, like, a patent attorney or, like, you could help us kind of, like, trademark this idea, I really think we've got something.
No one ever has help when we ask for things like that. No one ever put us in touch with Folgers when we wanted to talk to them. I mean,
when we kept saying we need to connect with Folgers, and nobody from Mr. Folgers ever reached out.
To be perfectly honest, I don't remember why we wanted to connect with Folgers.
We just remember the disappointment of our audience letting us down.
None of you know the head of marketing at Folgers. Then what are you good for? Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm having, like, now I'm having, like, an existential thing where I'm like, I don't think that I ever am trying to say, like, wrestling should be just for us. Like, that everything in wrestling should be, like, what we want. It's kind of like, it has to serve many masters, does it not? And if, like, one master, Bryan Danielson, main event at Wembley is being served over here, can we not be served something else, a little pittance along the way of having a sensible storyline to get there?
The indignity of having to deal with Bryan Danielson at the same time FTR emerges on the scene is like... Take me out. Just take me to the glue factory.
Take me to the glue factory. Oh, we've got to move on, I think. Oh, we can't because we have to bring up this other thing. We have to say it at least.
Yeah.
Did I not even type it here? Did I not even put it here? Oh,
you
I put
did.
It before. I put it before and then I skipped it. Right. Backstage, before any of this ending stuff happened, Renee was trying to interview Will Ospreay, and he was looking really bloodied and defeated, and Bryan Danielson stomps into the shot, and he says, "I saw what happened out there, Will. Do it. Do it." And he really gave him the stop being a fucking pussy. It's time to man up. And then he left. And actually, in the moment, I didn't even remember that Bryan Danielson is the one who got Tiger Driver. And I was just like, what the fuck? Why are you here? And then I remembered. And I thought to myself, setting aside the question of whether this is even helpful to Will Ospreay's storyline, is it a good idea to bring Bryan Danielson into another storyline where he is displaying more intensity than he has displayed for even a millisecond in the storyline he's actually in? Like, I maybe wouldn't want people to see that comparison.
Yeah, it's like Bryan Danielson has now shown more interest in Jeff Jarrett and Will Ospreay than he has in Swerve this whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's so annoying that I'm so mad at Bryan Danielson right now, because objectively it's really funny for him to be like, I know that you almost paralyzed me and you almost ruined my life, but I was watching what happened, and MJF is so fucking annoying. So, like, just do it. Like, just help us all. We all have to be backstage with him, and he sucks ass. So, can you do, like, if Bryan Danielson wasn't doing anything else, like, I would be like, that was a fucking hilarious thing to do. But instead, it's just not.
Here's the storyline. MJF has come back. He's annoying backstage. Bryan Danielson has therefore checked out mentally from his workplace because he doesn't want to deal annoyed. With
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so he hasn't been invested, but he wants Ospreay to paralyze MJF so that we don't have to deal with it anymore, and that's why he's so invested. And I think that you'll find was a very coherent storyline.
That checks out.
But that's also kind of like, if you were going to bring him back into this, you could have just done parallel storylines in the first place, where Ospreay doesn't want to do the Tiger Driver because he doesn't want to kill someone, and Danielson is like, maybe if I keep wrestling, I'll die, and I'll never be a good dad to my child, so maybe I should go gently into that good night, and I should just kind of ride it out and hit the road, Jack. And then you have the moment where the storylines come together because he's like, fuck it. No. Wrestling is the best feeling on earth. Like, when you're in that ring, you have to give 150% because otherwise you don't deserve to live. So you get out there and kill someone and I'll get out there and die.
Yeah. I mean,
boom. Yeah, that would fucking rule. Of course it would.
That would be smart, in my opinion. But I'm not even saying I want to see that storyline, but it's just sometimes it's just like, well, we just have to do something.
No,
it's just an example. There's many things you can do.
Something that made sense. We're just trying to illustrate here that it doesn't, you just got to sit down in the room and talk about stuff you can do that can make sense.
It's like what you said earlier. If you've committed to X, then that's how you get to Y. Like, should you commit to X? No, but we've gotten there.
We're there.
We've agreed to that.
Disagree and commit.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was quite a long section, I guess.
What is that, a full hour?
Yeah, a full hour.
We just had to do our victory lap because we said 2 months ago it'll be a good match and it'll be a terrible summer. And, like, here we are.
Oh, my God.
Correct as always, girls.
You think it'll be a wet, hot American fall? It's going to be a fucking sexy, steamy American fall.
When I'm sitting here thinking, I wish I wasn't watching wrestling. I wish I was watching a political convention instead. Like, something has gone wrong somewhere.
I wish I was tuned into the DNC. I think Beyonce is probably performing right now.
I wish I was watching Amy Klobuchar introduce Tim Walz.
Did you see that picture? Was that Amy Klobuchar in that picture with the football players?
Yeah.
She is horny.
Yeah. I saw today that her ex-boyfriend, she gets her ex-boyfriends to fund her campaigns, too. It's like...
Yeah, I know, I think they came out during her, like, her presidential, like, run. Because I saw that then and was like, genius. That's going to be a people for you.
Yeah. I think it's so impressive to me that during that, the Democratic process, during the last election.
To be clear, neither of us are high this week. Like, no one on this podcast is stoned this week. And yet, this is what you got. that thing came out about how she's throwing staplers at her aides' heads and stuff. And then it's like no one is even bringing that up anymore. It's just like, well, let Amy be Amy.
And she's still like really popular in Minnesota, right? She's like the most popular senator.
Yeah. She's not going anywhere. No. Yeah.
My dad loves Amy Klobuchar. When he was really like, Biden has to drop out. And I was like, Dad, who's going to be the nominee if Biden drops out? Like Harris? And he was like, Amy Klobuchar. I was like, you are the only person in America that thinks that. But
it's crazy.
It's adorable. I love it.
She needs a job where she can be a real friggin' attack dog. Like, she needs a job where you think, like, everyone in that room deserves to have a stapler thrown at their head.
Hello, so let her manager. Do it.
Okay, the Klob would kill in the ring.
I saw a picture, like, the one with her at the football team, and then, like, some other one with a bunch of, like, union Studs. Guys who were all jacked and, like, shirtless, and Amy Klobuchar's in the middle. I'm like,
she looked so comfortable. Like, she just looked like just a day in the life, baby. Living the
dream. She should be out there managing House of Black, you know? It'd be fantastic.
I would
kill anything to watch, like, the House of Black do, like, one of their stupid nonsense promos, and the camera just pans to Amy Klobuchar in the
arms crossed,
wings, like doing a dance mom thing. She's like, yes, yes.
Wow, and we've solved the House of Black problem in one fell swoop. Someone clip this and send it to Amy Klobuchar. If you have a connection in the Minnesota Senate offices,
let her know if she's getting bored in the Senate. We kind of have an exit plan for
we have
her.
Options. Yeah. Do you think that we should play a game where it's we just connect political figures with the faction that we think that they should
be? Yeah, should we throw out, like, the rest of the schedule and just do that now and just finish it out?
Imagine making this suggestion to us, like, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't, it wouldn't have been tenable. But now we're back in the game, baby. Oh, God. All right. Tony booked this casino gauntlet match for Wembley. He just kind of forgot. He had all these men. He forgot.
And he pulled out the shoebox from under them and was like, oh, God, a gauntlet, I guess.
I didn't even get my Orange Cassidy figure out.
It felt to me like a bunch of guys were like, Tony, so, like, am I going to Wembley? And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot about this. Yeah, you. Yeah, I guess you're going to be in a gauntlet. I don't know.
He already used up all his health points. So it's just like a gauntlet doesn't take very much out of you.
It also kind of, this is another way of thinking about it. It's like, have you ever done this thing where it's like, it's like you're at Thanksgiving or whatever. I think this is a personality issue thing. It's like you're at Thanksgiving, you have like a big plate of like all the different foods, and you're so excited about your favorite foods that you make yourself start with your least favorite foods. Absolutely. And then halfway through, you're like, I'm full. I didn't even eat my favorite foods and I'm full. That's also what it feels like. She booked his singles matches and then was like, oh God, I didn't even get to my Okadas. I didn't even get to my Orange Cassidy.
It's like, I gave Hook a singles match? Oh, God. Well, we've already announced it. I can't.
Yeah, so he's just got this casino gauntlet. We did get corrected. I think we're happy about this correction. Orange Cassidy is coming out first. He is coming out first. He has the most, maybe the most screen time.
That. Everyone was like, oh, he won the right to come out first. And I like made our Discord break it down to me where I was like, why would you want to come out first? And they were like, oh, because it can end at any time. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We forgot about that. We forgot that's how
that
works.
It's hard to keep track of all the different casino matches, to be honest.
So true. And the thing I don't like about that is the casino match could last for 2 seconds. He could come out. The second man could come out. Does he come out on his own? Just one man come out alone. And then he stands
then he just,
there.
Yeah, just
kind of glad hands. Then another man come out. He could pin him immediately. That could be it. We could see him for 2 seconds.
Yeah. They should but he'd do be that so powerful if he did that.
One time. Like
they should do it one time.
just for one fun. Time. When like commentary is always like, it can end now. It can end now and have it actually end now. Like, do you remember that one time they had Orange Cassidy end it in pitcher and pitcher? Like the one time.
God. Yes.
That
was
crazy.
Yeah.
It should be that. Yeah, it'd be funny, too, if it was, like, Evil Uno and Griff Garrison and, like, OC and Okada never got out there and they were just like, well, Evil Uno won.
that would go hand in hand with our other idea we had for Casino Gauntlet, which is that one time there should be no time limit and it's the entire Dynamite and they're just like digging out the dregs of the locker room to bring new men out. And like we are out of men.
The Gauntlet starts off the episode at like 8 o'clock yes. and it just keeps going. It actually takes up the whole episode.
Yes,
there was
does.
A card announced, but they throw it out because they're like, we're still doing the
work. We're
still
sticking with the Gauntlet in picture in picture. So anyway, they have the Gauntlet. And so there are some other men we know are going to be in it. Mark Briscoe, Eva Luno, Kyle O'Reilly, and Hangman Adam Page. We had a backstage interview, Hangman Adam Page and Renee. Hangman said, I did what I had to do. I don't know what that was. What did he have to do? And Sunday at All In, I'm in the Casino Gauntlet. How'd he get in the Gauntlet? What'd he do? Did he just ask? Did he ask to get in? Did what I had to do. Went and asked Tony to be in the Gauntlet.
The implication is kind of like, Tony didn't want to let me in, but I made him. But I'm like, I think you were like the first person that was announced. So I think probably like,
I don't think he was. I didn't even know that he had been like officially. And I don't know how he got officially announced. Did he ask for another favor from the Young Bucks? They're going to hold that over his head if he did. I didn't see any content to that effect.
Hey, that would be a great story beat if they thought of it.
Yeah, it'd be great. Mm. I have to tell you, I've been working on a little something that has me watching a lot of old Dynamite and old content from wrestling. And one, I guarantee you that you have forgotten because I had the number of iterations of gimmick of all these men that we have seen. Like you think like I've known a couple versions of these men. I've known hundreds of versions of these men. We've been here for 4 full years.
Oh, yeah. This month is our four-year wrestling anniversary. That's troubling, to be
honest. There were things that I would have said happened last year that happened in 2020. I mean, it has been rough. The other thing that I will say, I miss BTE.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't realize how much I missed it. From a storytelling perspective, it's not like they were doing rocket science in there even, but the number of little tiny 1 minute story beats that they were hitting in BTE that enriched the product, it's actually kind of like I felt mournful a little bit where I was like, wow, my experience of watching wrestling is a lot worse without this stupid little 15 minute YouTube show,
especially the fact that like the EVP gimmick really would have benefited because then you could have those backstage stuff where they're throwing their weight around and undercutting Christopher Daniels, and you really like I think it would have sold it a lot, and I just that makes me so crazy when I think about it.
It's rough because I think I it's not like I've never been like. Obviously, this whole time I've been like, I miss BTE. I wish I could see BTE. But a little bit in my brain, it was like, because that's where I see my sweet sons, and that's where they'll pop their shirts off for me and pop dogs and talk hogs or whatever it was they did. Like, that's just where I see the goofs. But I really had the experience of being like, ooh, it was a valuable storytelling tool that they were extremely good at using.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this against them, but it's like there hasn't been anything that they can replace. You can't replace that with anything. No. So it's just a loss. You just don't get. The most minimal little moments of interaction can enrich a storyline so much, Bryan Danielson.
And they always knew that. Like,
I know.
Like, they knew, like, the little, like, tack-ons really made such a difference.
And it's like, too bad they haven't taken advantage of the extra hours of television that they have now to, like, add all... Like, because you could take, you know, those little bits from BTE, like, 5 minutes of storytelling beats of just, like, two people backstage having a little conversation or, AEW could be doing it.
There's no room in the product, you would think, but... Man, I just got really, bummed out and was like, the experience of like learning what wrestling is and how to follow it and how to track it with the show and BTE was like so good.
And it's not as good without it.
I don't know that we would have fallen the way we did without that extra help, you know, without... Yeah,
we really needed it, especially moving beyond our first, because we got into Orange Cassidy and that got us into Best Friends, and they're really accessible for just, like, a sweet idiot who doesn't know anything, like... Yeah.
But and they also had a lot of backstage content in the pandemic era, too. And,
yes,
and then
they did. Previous you're right.
Show and stuff, too. Yeah.
That's right. Because that's why we started watching BTE, probably, actually. Yeah. Was that we were watching the very beginning.
We were like, hoping that we would see them in the background. And I remember being like, well, they have to just move out of the way so I can see who's standing behind them.
I know. Yeah. But then. I don't know. It really helped us, and
no, the whole thing with Hangman like slowly spiraling down. Can you imagine watching that on Dynamite without any of the BTE stuff? It never would have been as meaningful. No, like the Dark Order stuff, it never would have gotten over. Like the is Hangman going to join the Dark Order? Yeah. Order? It never would have gotten over without BTE, and that's the thing. Like, I get that. Like, it's like people are tired of hearing the Bucks be like, we'll get our flowers when we're dead. But it is like nobody is talking about how much the show is worse because it doesn't have BTE.
Yeah.
Like nobody's talking about that enough.
For everybody. It's not just about the Elite story. Like it's like other people would get their shit in there too. Yeah. Obviously for me, the big thing is the Elite where I'm like, that's what really like that they just did. It just was so good. But it's like that clearly was a place where if people were like, I think this would like really help us if we could get this in somewhere. Can we put it on there? They could. It was a really actually important storytelling device, but storytelling doesn't matter. So, and to be clear, the Young Bucks know storytelling matters and it's not whatever. Anyway, not to bring the mood down, but so Hangman gave this promo. He did what he had to do. We don't know what that was. He's going to be in the Casino Gauntlet. And he said that if you stand between me and our world champion, I'll run you over. And Eva Luno showed up at just the right moment to say, I'm in the gauntlet. I'm so excited. And Hangman took him out with a chair. Bad boy. And
he rolled his suitcase over him.
That was such a funny part. That's the thing is that Hangman really knows how to use every second he has.
Yeah. He really does.
It's incredible, too, where he can do all this, like, drama. Like, he's so angry in the promo, but then be, like, super hilarious at the same time. It's a real gift.
It's a real gift. And then he ends by saying, there's nothing more that I want in this life than to make his dreams go up in smoke. And he didn't ever say, he only said the world champion. He never said Swerve's name, which is such a like, baby. Ooh, the name you dare not speak. And he gave that interview this week that was honestly one of the more erotic things I've ever read. Like I was crazy. Reading parts of that like, and you can just say that?
Another one where it was like it was so horny and dramatic and also like had really hilarious lines in it too, like a master and totally in kayfabe. Hangman protecting the business, which is really all I want from any wrestler.
I really liked the intro to that was like, this is how wrestling used to be, and you might expect this interview to have like, you know, truth to it. It won't, so be cool.
This line, when you interview Adam Page, you're always talking to the Hangman.
When he was like, are you a psychologist? Did my wife give you this number? He's like, comedy king. Wow.
Yeah. I love the part where he was listing cities that he might have moved to, and he was like, you don't know, Albuquerque?
Like, yeah, Albuquerque, probably.
Yeah, probably you moved there.
That would have been a funny skit on BTE. Yeah. Okay, and then let's maybe just talk about the Young Bucks, shall we? Talk about the Young Bucks. We already kind of did a little bit, but Okada and Claudio, that match went to a time limit draw, and then the Bucks came out and were kind of teasing the crowd, being like, oh, should we let them have another 5 minutes? And the crowd really liked that. And then the Bucks said, no, they can't. They're very good at coming up with something that people want and then taking it away. It's like, you don't even know what you want. We'll create something that you want, then we'll take it away. And then we had Darby and FTR versus the Young Bucks and Jack. And very normal match. Darby pinned Matt for the win. The Elite went to leave. They were stopped because the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn came out, and they cut a promo. It was mostly censored on AllElite Wrestling.com, even though I don't think most of the content was problematic, unlike the promo that Max Caster cut on Collision, which was repulsive and did feel like he had heard us say, when he's not saying nasty stuff, he's such a beautiful boy. And he said, I am not a beautiful boy. I'm a repulsive troll. Who's a who's going to say the grossest things you've ever seen?
You know how we make the joke all the time that Dustin's like, I don't want fans. Stop being my fan. Like, I feel like Max Caster's actually doing that. Where we're like, sometimes I just pretend he can't talk. Like, I mute him. And I just think about how beautiful he is. Max Caster's like, you won't fucking mute me.
You will hear my voice in your dreams.
I feel like maybe we should cut this segment because it might be giving Dustin tips, actually. I don't hear it from him.
Chuck Taylor. Dustin's like, is that how you get rid of
Chuck
Taylor?
Don't listen. Don't get any ideas. Well, we're never going to see him again, so who even cares? As I said at the end of this, we used to be mothers. We're not mothers anymore.
He hasn't even gotten that goddamn surgery yet.
Dude, you can't, when you go through these old episodes of Dynamite, he's in like everyone.
We used to be full of riches. Even last year, he was in Wembley. Oh, God. Doing the awful waffle and then winning the match. Unbelievable. I can't even imagine it.
Remember the shot of him on the ramp looking back at the crowd?
Yeah. I remember.
And you were there.
Limping out together, and OC is between them, and they all turn and look around, and one of them was going all the way to the back, but he come back to look together. They look out at Wembley, and Wembley loved them, and the people loved them.
Everybody loved them.
I think
we can all agree that when Wembley was finished, that was the only thing we talked about.
Everybody and I would say, like,
there was 3 months of discourse about how good that match was.
I mean, you noticed that Wembley last year sold over 80,000 tickets, and this year 50,000. And what's the difference,
What's your line, Ann?
No, I don't remember.
It's about the cherries.
Oh yeah, if you need. Oh my god. No, I've got a cough still from COVID. You might say it's cherry picking, but if you need cherries, what are you going to do?
Oh my god. I miss the way I feel.
The way I used to feel was good. Now I feel bad.
Take us back
when we had BTE and Chuck Taylor on television every week.
What Brian Danielson said actually was right. You don't know that you're in the good old days.
That's so true. I did not appreciate it enough. I thought I was appreciating it.
Wow.
Is
his storyline good?
We should have been present in the moment.
We were present in the moment, actually. We were very present.
In fact, I think many people asked us to be less present.
We were sometimes maybe a little too present. All right. Max Caster. Oh, okay. So
he called the Bucks beautiful princesses, which is correct.
He said it as an insult, and it was like, but they are. Yeah, they are the most beautiful princesses.
In their pearls?
Well, it was the classic moment of, like, beautiful princesses derogatory when he should have been saying beautiful princesses complimentary.
It's beautiful princesses, like, full of promise because he said it and I was like, yes, they have to go girl mode. You're so right, Max Caster. We had more than enough boy mode this year. It's time to return to girl mode. That's where the Young Bucks really make the magic happen.
Take the hair down, take the vests off.
Oh my god. That's where it happens.
Grow the beard back. And then put just a quarter of the hair back up in a little high bun. Mm-hmm. And then you have the little high bun and the down hair. And it's the most beautiful hair you've ever seen. You'll never see hair like this. No. In
shampoo
any...
commercial.
No.
Hair. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Agree.
So it's mostly the hair stuff, I think. The
only fashion that I do support right now with them is that, like, I really enjoy the comedy of every week Matt Jackson has a bigger pearl situation going on. It's like, I expect at Wembley he's going to be wearing, like,
beach ball sized pearl. His
He's gonna be
neck.
Limping out under the weight of the pearl, staggering.
When I saw those big old pearls this week, I wanted to. I'm in the classroom. I'm the teacher, and I say, Matt, can you come up here for a moment? And he comes up, and I say, this is why Matt gets the Mommy's Little Ham Award more weeks than not. Class, look at him. Learn from him. You could be this. You could be my A-plus student, too, if you tried. But you don't.
We haven't even given out a Mommy's Little Ham Award in weeks.
Well, he can Nobody's have it this week hamming. For his pearls. He can have it for his beautiful pearls.
That's great.
It's kind
you
of
made
prop,
a bunch of good faces.
It's prop ham work, but...
Yeah. You made a bunch of good faces this week.
Yeah, it looked really nice. We saw their beautiful bodies on Instagram.
Instagram.com. Okay, single person that came really into good. Our mentions to say, girls, you have to go to Instagram. You are all my beautiful angels, and I Thank kiss you all over your face. First of all, I love when we get tagged on anything, but that that was the day that I was like, this is my community. My community is here for me. They knew that there was boobs on Instagram, and they were like, the girls have to know. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
You raised us.
Again, I want to be clear.
No one's high.
No, we were so careful this week.
You raised us up so we could stand on mountains. The immortal words of the hymn. Jack Perry has taken up metalsmithing and made his own belt.
Speaking
Wonderful.
That was honestly Beautiful. The most attracted I've into him. Like, that was cool.
You know what it was giving?
What?
Ren Faire. It was giving Ren Faire a little complimentary. Was it giving Ren Faire a little my favorite environment to imagine men in? The Ren Faire?
It really sent me back to, there's like a middle grade book about a boy in Revolutionary Times who does metalsmithing, and I think his hand gets like burned.
Johnny
like
Tremaine!
Johnny Tremaine!
Oh my God.
Was like,
I fucking love that book.
It was a good book, yeah.
It was a great book.
Can we hear from the Tremaine heads in the house?
Anyway, I was like, Jungle Boy, be careful. Metalsmithing is quite dangerous, I know.
I was like,
it's hot.
Complete thing cracks.
Yeah,
silver could come out and fuck up your hand.
Yeah,
and then you get fired from your apprenticeship with Paul Revere.
He had a really good plate thing. He's got great equipment, and I wouldn't worry about that. I think he's fine.
I think a lot of people were like, "Why was he blacksmithing shirtless?" And I was like, I didn't. Why wouldn't he be?
I didn't ask any questions. I said, "Of course he would be at the Ren Faire."
That man understands what women want, which is shirtless men metalsmithing.
My God. I said, okay, artisan. Okay, Mr. Artisan. I love it.
I love to see that. I really loved it.
Is there anything we want to say about... So I guess what happened, actually. So I watched Collision, and you watched Collision.
I also watched Collision.
Okay. So we all saw the...
Wow. What good girls.
What good girls. Well, I don't remember most of it, but...
Well...
We all saw the men who wrestled were the Acclaimed and FTR. And they had a very long match. It was 30 minutes because
kind
it was a time limit draw.
Collision-paced match, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a moment when I was watching it where I was kind of like, this is fine. Like, I mean, I'm doing other stuff. And I'm like, this is totally fine. And then I looked at how much time was left and said out loud, 17 minutes? So on Sunday, All In, the Bucks, FTR, and the Acclaimed will all fight for the tag team belts. What can we say about that, ladies? Anything? Is there anything to say at this point?
I'm not going to go back and listen to it because I'm sure it'll depress me. But when I think about the hope and optimism we had when we were like, I know that when the Bucks will get the belts, they'll just be allowed to fix the tag team division. And then they just weren't ever given anything to do it with. And so now we're back here.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but
it feels so depressing. It's like, why are there only three tag teams in this company? Why are these the remnants of a once proud tag division?
I'll tell you for free that Rich from ONR sent me into like a full spiral for like 3 hours because he was like, my theory is that the Bucks were supposed to fight Cope Christian, and when Cope got hurt,
I mean, that would make
sense. Fucked everything up. the degree
that would have been a kick-ass match
of depression. That would have been a feud that would have fucking that would have been a wet hot American summer.
Man, if all we had that,
that would have been a sloppy, nasty American.
We wouldn't even care about Swerve Brian Danielson. There'd be no segments on it. We'd be like, universe, that sucks, but whatever.
We would have been like, sorry, Swerve. Like, I know you're trying. I can't think about this. I have to focus on the war of the hands.
My God. In fact, the only thing that I will say about that is I'm at my leisure to watch Cope and Christian spend like a full year edging each other, mm-hmm, if you will. Mm-hmm. So this might even have been too fast to get it ready for Wembley. True. I mean, let's go. Let's take our time and let's go slow. Let's go real slow. What is the song I'm thinking of? We don't have to find it in our brains right now.
I know, anyway. But it is, like, when they get a really juicy storyline, they really need to wallow in it for some time. Like, yeah. Like, Hangman Swerve, if they're just going to do 2 weeks after to focus on it and then do it all out, it's like,
yeah.
When you've got gold on your hands, like, make it last.
Rub them together till they get real hot, you know?
Take Tony and Mariah as your models. Like, yes. I want that kind of build.
Yes. Oh, my God.
We live in a time where people will say, like, they'll be watching a TV show and they'll be like, oh, it's such a fun slow burn. And they mean that people want to kiss for 2 episodes and then kiss in the 3rd episode. Mm. That's not a fucking slow burn.
Mm-mm. Slow burn is the X-Files. It should take you 10 years to get there.
Yes.
And it does.
Yes. I want to be almost there forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Christian and Cope, I know you're listening. Don't. You're not, you're not allowed to be listening, but B, I know you are. Let's take our time. Let's take it real slow. Mm-hmm. And after, of course, Cope, you recover from your injuries, which I hope is going to happen really soon. It won't, but, let's get there. And let's ask the booker to help us, and help us get the Young Bucks some fucking storylines that we can sink our teeth into. Because yeah. I don't blame the Young Bucks. Can I say it? I don't blame the Young Bucks for being locked in the Acclaimed. And I'm sorry, because that's like, I think the Acclaimed probably have benefited from it. Although their crowd reactions were a little not amazing. And
well, because it's kind of keeps being unclear where I'm like, are you faces?
I have no idea. No. I would say no because of everything Max Caster says. But now what was I saying? Oh, it was probably good for them. But anyway, I don't blame the Bucks for being locked in this. Like, it's like, those men want to tell me a story. They've never not been telling me a story in their lives.
Yeah.
They want to tell me a story.
Actually, now I'm just so depressed about the injury situation because it's like we should be having Cope Christian. We should be having a juicy best friends feud. Like, there should be like an OC Trent if Trent hadn't gotten hurt, like match at Wembley. Like, Eddie should be doing something. Like, think how happy I would be if all those things were happening.
Instead, I'm watching FTR and the Acclaim fight the Young Bucks.
Okay. I'm going to kill myself.
I hate it here.
All right.
Well, that's wrestling.
That's wrestling. I think we better just gloss. Should we gloss a couple of these?
Yeah. Well, the only one let's gloss. Let's gloss.
No, we can, just tell me when you want me to slow down, okay? I mean, you guys can say anything at your own speed. I don't know why. I don't know why I can't talk anymore. Okay, so we have also coming up at All In, Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. We got some build matches to this. Britt fought Harley Cameron. I don't really know why. Did they kiss in that match? Am I making that up? Was there a kiss spot? I
remember that.
I don't remember it, but I was paying attention at best, yeah.
Okay. And then Mercedes and Britt had a contract signing in Wales, and they went back and forth a little bit and accused each other of things like getting degrees. Yeah. and then Britt fought Camille a little.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Any thoughts?
It was bog standard. It was like, I'm like, yeah, you guys are doing exactly what you should be doing. So good,
good work. But Camille was cracking me the fuck up because there was a point where, like, I think, like, Britt hit her or something, and she fell out of the ring like somebody, like an old-time, like, crap ball. Like, it was just, like, it all. I was like, I don't know. And, like, then she was, like, she had Mercedes, like, tucked up against her. And she was, like, sweet child, nobody will hurt you. I protect you. I'm so strong. But her hand was just, like, on Mercedes' boob, just gently cupping it, being, like, don't worry.
I didn't notice that, but I'm going to have to go back and watch it. Because when you said it, I was, like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That, honestly, of course, is how women should be taking care of each other. Yeah, it's, like, let me hold that for you for a moment.
Take a little weight off. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who's going to win at Wembley, and I don't care. Okay. Tony had a promo on Collision, and you remember the content of this, which I don't.
It was a great promo. It was all in black and white, so the aesthetics were really good. And she did a thing where it was like, I went to the doctor for my depression, and he told me to see the clown.
This was the clown thing. Yeah.
Which is very
funny.
But
then she did a riff on it. What was her version?
Yeah, she was like, the clown should come see me.
She's so funny.
She's killing it. Killing it. She's so good.
Great. And then Tony fought Saraya on Dynamite, and she won, and afterwards Mariah attacked her or something, and then was cradling her and kissing her forehead and looking, like, really cruel. And Leah, is this the point that you'd like to linger on?
I just want to talk about Mariah saying that Tony, well, AEW told her to stop kissing Mina, and I was like, why? I'm sorry. You found gold and you said, please, sir, give me some, like, plastic? What is wrong with you?
It's crazy. It's very cute that she was like, oh, yeah, I just kissed me and I didn't clear it with anyone or, like, pitch it.
Perfect.
And just did it. It was just amazing. And then, like, all the men backstage, like, this is making us uncomfortable. Like, you people are trash.
And, like, the vibe was like, you can't do that because people are going to think it's, like,
regressive
lesbian stuff. And she was like, well, it's not, because we just really like kissing. And so as long as you, like, genuinely want to kiss a girl, then it's fine. And I was like, that's exactly right.
She's completely
when you kiss
right.
for boys, that's bad and tacky. And when you kiss for girls, that's good and fun.
Yeah. It was interesting, though, because, like, people did react. Some people reacted as though it was, like, tacky lesbian for men, which I think probably WWE has trained people to reflexively feel like it is. But it was clear watching it that it was horny kissing for girls.
And it was taken away from us, like everything is.
Of course.
We can't have anything. And it is, like, it's like Papa took it away and said, like, girls, this would offend you. You'll never see that again. It's like, it didn't offend us. It titillated us and delighted us. Okay? I mean, I pray for strength. It was called representation, actually.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? When I, like, there's so few things where it's like, that makes me feel seen. And it's like, yeah, girls kissing other girls because they feel very filled up with erotic energy. Yeah, I can tell when that's genuine.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it made me feel seen, but also I liked to see it. It's both. It's like I look at myself in the mirror and I want to kiss myself. And, like, you know? And I think, wow, she's really something. Anyway, so then they'll fight at Wembley and we'll see what happens there. Chris Jericho versus Hook also happening at All In. Chris Jericho fought Tommy Billington in Wales, and he beat Little Billington. Why did I type that?
I actually scrolled right past that. That's so funny.
That's so cruel of me. Oh, he beat Little Billington. God help us. What? No, God.
I agree that this match should not be at Wembley, like the Hook Jericho match, but I almost couldn't really care because I just kept being like, but Wales was so nice to Chris Jericho.
We were all like, oh, the crowd loves responding to Chris Jericho.
And then Big Bill picked Hook up like a little boy and slammed him, and it was so entertaining to me.
I have to say, I'd be mad. Completely lost it listening to ONR this week at the point when I think it was Rich was like, Rich was like, well, the thing about Hook is he used to look younger because he was younger, but now he's older, and it's like when you're watching Cobra Kai, and they used to be teenagers playing teenagers, but now they're in their 20s. And I was like, you know what? A, Cobra Kai rocks, and B, you are not wrong.
Other really good O&R line this week when they were talking about Ishii, and they were like, Ishii was too hurt to work the G1. They were like, he was like, oh no, I'm too old and beaten up, but I sure can go to America and fart around.
I really appreciated that segment because I actually all summer have had no clue why Ishii was here and kept saying to myself, like, does he go here now or something? So it was helpful for me to learn that he was on exchange. He was in an exchange program that he had tricked his way into and then was just having matches left and right, having the time of his life, and as they said, getting USD, United States dollars. Good for him. Okay, well, they'll fight. And then I've noted here at the end, where are all our men? What happened to all our good men?
There has to be another shoebox around here.
Tony, you haven't looked hard enough.
Your room is a mess. This is what I've been telling you.
He's like, Mom, can we go to the store and get me 50 new action figures? And I say, I've bought you many action figures. Where are they? And he says, I can't find them. And I said, well, then you haven't looked hard enough. You haven't looked hard enough. Clean. If you clean the room in the process of cleaning it, you'll find the figures. He doesn't want to. He just wants to go to the store and buy new things, which is the problem with America. Then we're getting a trio's four-way. This schedule was the first time that I fully processed that.
I was all messed up today, and I didn't respond to the schedule in time. I think part of this is supposed to get set up on Collision, but Collision was taped after Dynamite, so everybody knows what happened on Collision, but we don't know because we didn't watch it, and I didn't click on the Collision stuff. So I think some of this stuff is going to...
Honestly, a relief, because when I saw this, I was like, how do I have no idea that this was happening?
I think that's right, but also I hadn't really listened to or processed Vice Principal Christopher Daniels when he was talking on that last week's Collision, and because it just became like, it's not his fault, but it became just like soup to me, where he's being like, the vessel with the pestle holds the brew that is true, but the trio with the Mio will be in the qualifier with the mollifier. And I said, okay, so there will be a qualifier, but how many teams will come out at the end? Who could never be sure? And it turns out it's four. I guess I had kind of thought it would be less than that, but it's four full teams, I believe. So it's more teams than I was thinking, I guess. But that's how many are going. And because Tony had to get the men in there somewhere. He'd forgotten so many men. That as a result, Claudio and Yuta are going to be fighting with Pac on their team together.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then I assume we're going to get some more zero-hour matches out of Collision this week because we only have one. Usually they do at least two. I would kind of, but maybe they won't. But we just have Ishii and Willow versus Stat and Stokely, and I don't think I have anything new to say about that.
No.
Weirdly kind of excited to see what Stokely gets up to.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It'll be fun, yeah.
It'll be fun. I used to be a mother. Now I'm not a mother anymore.
R.I.P. Chuck Taylor.
My God. R.I.P. The late, great Chuck Taylor. Please schedule your surgery, Dustin. Hey, Dustin, please. Call your moms, okay? Call your moms, schedule your surgery.
I'd love a little proof of life from old Chuck Taylor.
And proof of medical care. That's what I'd like.
Yeah.
What, he's just back there doing his fucking producer job?
He did an escape room a couple
Dustin,
weeks ago.
Dustin, you make me sick. I love you so much, you make me sick. I don't know. Anyway. So is there anything you want to talk about that we didn't get to?
Well, let's go watch the DNC.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've still got time. All the good stuff happens after 10.
Okay.
What a world, girls. What a world we're in.
What a world. We're DNC girlies now. Wrestling, you can still win us back, but maybe put in a little effort. I've been Allie.
Mm-hmm. I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
Our theme is by Chris Corkin. This is Tunnel Talk. Hey, guys, I've been Allie, you've been Ann, you've been Leah. This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, please. As always, please come back next time.